Well, here's a welcome for you. Bring your own chair or your favorite comfy blue blanket or your picnic supper and join us in the community's family outing every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. beginning June 13th, that's this Friday, through July 18th for the Sculptural Garden Concert Series at the Bethlehem Sculptural Gardens next to City Hall. Created by the Bethlehem Fine Arts Commission, the event soothes and entertains with a myriad of exceptional musical artists. To chat about the concert series, we have invited Tim Fox and Sheila O'Connell, co-chairs of the event. And in the second half of our program, we chat with Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival's artistic director, Patrick Mulcahy. PSF is one of the leading theatrical festivals in the nation, with an ongoing reputation for excellence. This year's productions, you will learn, are magnificent. More than 30,000 patrons from 20 states attend the festival during the summer months. Well, this is, indeed, the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, WDIY-FM 88.1, Allentown. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, we glory, absolutely glory, in the artistic offerings of the Lehigh Valley in the summer and throughout the year. Welcome, Tim. Welcome, Sheila.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you could join us. And the concert series is kicking off this Friday. That's right. Right?
It's Friday the 13th.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't let the date scare you.
I was going to say, perhaps we'll just ignore that.
Saturday to me.
But it's sort of, I'd like to talk about the musicians and how they were chosen, but I'm excited that Cora Cree will be the band on Friday. I've been lucky enough to attend the concert series when contra dance musicians are there playing, and it's great fun. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, yes. I agree, Kate. It is a lot of fun. And so Cora Cree is a contemporary contra dance band that melds a mixture of traditional Celtic, old-time music, European music, and original music, and plays it with an improvisational twist. They'll be bringing instruments including the fiddle, banjo, mandolin, guitars, bass, percussion, and even a melodeon, which is a type of accordion.
Oh, of course.
and to make it even more special, the Valley Contra Dance Society will join us that evening, and they'll have a couple of dances in which they'll demonstrate and also give a little instruction to anyone who wishes to learn to do some contra dancing.
And that's part of the fun. That's really enjoyable. And part of the lovely thing about the setting at the Sculpture Garden, for folks that aren't familiar and should be familiar with it, is it's such a nice mix of kind of garden and yet a kind of terrace or palazzo area. There's that you can actually dance and you can really spread out and enjoy.
Yes, there's a lot of room for a surprising amount of people can get down there and dance. And I understand that contra dance is really limited only by the length of the dance hall
as to
how many people can be out there dancing. So we have a long dance hall in the garden.
We also failed to mention that it's free to the public.
Oh, yes. Very important.
Did you mention
yes.
that, Kate?
I did not yet. And that's thanks to the Bethlehem Fine Arts Commission, of course, and sponsors like the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, Fox Optical and Gallery, and the Bethlehem Historic District Association House Store, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes.
But the Bethlehem Fine Arts Council has been really the guardian of this. What you were saying earlier that the series is about 20 years old?
The series is about 20 years old.
I didn't know that.
Originally, they included both theatrical performances as well as musical, but the venue lends itself better to musical performances, so it's kind of morphed into a concert series.
Which makes sense. Yeah, and it's really diverse. I'm really it's an eclectic mix from kind of quieter listening and jazz to more dance with the Philly Funk Authority. Would you, if we could go over some of what the highlights might be?
Sure. And then the following Friday, on June 20th, we'll have a jazz group, the Tom Gehring Quintet. Mm-hmm. Tom Gehring is a trumpet player and a jazz composer. He plays locally around the Valley, as well as in the New York scene with his group of very talented musicians. Their latest CD was favorably reviewed by many sources, including the Village Voice and Jazz Scene magazine. So you're going
to
hear some really quality jazz. Very, very great.
Great way
group.
To spend a summer evening. Mm-hmm.
And I think the Sculpture Garden is a perfect venue for their sort of mellow yet very interesting jazz. And I read a quote from a reviewer recently who said, "Listening to the Tom Gehring Quintet is a most pleasant and enjoyable journey." That sums it up.
It'll be beautiful.
Then on June 27th, we'll have the Philadelphia Funk Authority, who's been called the best dance and party band in Philly.
And I can very attest well to that. Yes. More dancing.
Right.
Wonderful dancing.
They have a huge repertoire of pop, Motown, funk, of course, soul, rhythm and blues, disco, and ballads, including old favorites such as, you know, Ain't Too Proud to Beg, and Chain of Fools, you know, up to things by newer artists such as Ray LaMontagne and Adele and Corinne Bailey Ray. So there's really something for everyone with the Philadelphia Funk Authority. And even if you say that you never dance, well, you may be tempted.
This is the one.
Yeah, get and up and dance.
And if not, you'll enjoy listening because they are really fun.
And I was surprised to see Dave, Dave Fry's Fabulous Fractal Folk, it's being called, because I think sometimes, because of his success with work with children, a lot of times we see Dave in conjunction with children's fairs, festivals, etc. This is going to be a little bit of a different offering from Dave, it sounds like.
Right, and I think, in fact, you know, a lot of families come to these concerts, and you'll see a lot of, you know, young children, babies, you know, and not as many teenagers, but, you know, sometimes the whole family does come, but you see a lot of the smaller children coming with their parents, and I think Dave Fry will be a perfect performer, because kids really engage with Dave, and he gets them to sometimes play along, you know, he gives them a rain stick or something, and it's just really fun to see that level of engagement, but, of course, adults love Dave's music also.
The mix of folk and Celtic and everything else.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then wrapping it up with special music, but also a dedication to a special person, Lenny Fowler.
And that is on July 18th. We'll have Hector Rosado and his orchestra. And Hector is a composer and percussionist who actually is from Bethlehem and lives in Bethlehem, but travels and performs internationally. In fact, just so you know the level of Hector's music, he's performed with David Byrne of the Talking Heads on a world tour, and also traveled and performed with the late Tito Puente. So we're very lucky to have Hector, and he's bringing a large band on July 18th to finish up the concert series. And we're doing this concert in really in celebration of the life of Lenny Fowler, because she was one of our community's most beloved benefactors. And not only a great supporter of the arts in the area and a member of the Bethlehem Fine Arts Commission for years, but she also forged many friendships and partnerships with people and with organizations in the Latino community. And we thought it was so appropriate to have Hector's orchestra. We'll have some salsa music, some Latin jazz and merengue. We've even arranged to have a salsa dance teacher come give us a little
more
demonstration.
Oh, wonderful.
And, maybe some of her students also will come and, you know, maybe give us a little instruction, those of us like Kate and me who want to get out there and dance. Really just we want to celebrate Lenny's life and how much she did for the community, the way she just quietly went about the business of helping those who needed it. So we hope people will come out and just enjoy a really fun party and help us say a nice thank you to Lenny Fowler.
It's really a wonderful lineup, and I think what's lovely is they're Friday evenings from 6 to 8, which we probably haven't said either, 6 to 8. And it is such a lovely way to start off the weekend, because these are both wonderful music, but there's a chance to dance or something for children. It's family. It's a beautiful setting. And I understand the Sculpture Garden, too. Again, if people haven't been, they really should explore. Essentially houses or started because it houses a collection of sculpture given to the city. So there's also a beautiful visual element there. And a team of volunteers and community people who have basically kept it so the green landscaping alive and beautiful.
Yeah, we're fortunate to have Clint Walker on the Fine Arts Commission. He's put together a team of volunteers that get out on several weekends and clean up the gardens and add to the planting. So it's a quite a beautiful venue. He calls it a shady glen next to City Hall, right in the heart of downtown Bethlehem.
Yeah.
So
that's perfect.
Come out and see.
Maybe you could come over to our place and fix our flowers and shrubs. And
I need them in my house too.
Exactly. Clint's busy with his garden.
And you know, you're very serious about the. I joked a little bit about it, about bringing your favorite lawn chair and your blanket. But you know, when we went, we noticed that the kids, along with their mom and dad, no matter what they were doing, would be getting up and dancing and having a real joyous time with what is going on with all the rest of the people there. I even understand that there had been one couple who even brought their own table with flowers and candles and very sophisticated kind of...
Exactly. Well, it is over the dinner hour, and you're welcome to bring your own picnic. We've teamed up again this year with Folt which is an acronym for Friends of Liberty Theater. And the students come out and they sell baked goods and cold beverages, all proceeds going to support their theater group. Mm-hmm. And also this year, we've made it easy for you. If you don't have time to go home and pack up your own picnic, you can order right from the back door bake shop. They are conveniently located on Broad and Center, which is only a few blocks from City Hall. You place your order early in the concert, and at 7 o'clock, which is normally our intermission, the sandwiches will be delivered, and you can eat away.
That's great.
During the second half of the concert. And we also have folks that, I don't know how they do it, but they somehow resist the food. And after the concert, since they're over early by 8, they can head downtown. We are blessed with so many great restaurants on both the north side and the south side. So mm-hmm. concerts run from 6 to 8. You can go out for dinner after.
That's
very
perfect.
Nice. Very nice. I would rather bring in mine than bring your own and have a candle and a bottle of wine.
Well, you can do that.
Okay.
I'm waiting. promises, promises. And in case it would rain, which we know it won't, but if it would.
With inclement weather, we do move around onto the plaza to the round building called the Rotunda.
Okay.
It's between City Hall and the library. It's a more intimate setting, but musicians always enjoy playing there. The acoustics are quite wonderful as we move indoors. But, yeah, let's hope for good weather.
How does one come about, as co-chairs, how does one come about choosing the different musicians and artists that are lined up every year? Because they're so they're just so in the
variety. Exactly. Yeah. It's quite difficult. Great. It's difficult. We try to bring a variety of music each year, and we found that once a musical group performs there, they want to come back and play again. Mm. And with only 5 concerts a summer, mm-hmm. it is quite difficult to choose. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Have you had return musicians?
We do, but we usually make them take at least 1 year off just so we can get a variety of music and expose.
I was going to say, I don't remember a repeat the next year. No, no.
It's always 1 year off in between. Right. That's our out.
Do you ever consider expanding it beyond the 5? Because I know it's very popular.
We have had 6 on occasion. Just kind of depends on what our budget is for the year. And, you know, we do have an annual budget from mm-hmm. the city, mm-hmm. which helps pay for the concert fees,
sure.
and sponsors such as Fox Optical and the ones that you mentioned.
Right.
We'd love to have more. But
what a great event this is every year, and I'm glad to have been there. Not all 20 years of it, but almost every other year. And also for the fine work that you're doing with the Fine Arts Commission, and truly with the annual Tribute to the Arts Luncheon, which you might mention briefly.
That's the next event.
Yeah.
Yes, on September 16th will be the Tribute to the Arts, and it will be held at the Kemmerer Museum this year. And that's every year the commission gives awards to people who've been nominated and selected as premier supporters of the arts. So that's always, and actually it used to be a luncheon, but now it's a cocktail type reception.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be September 16th. Then each month we have a different art show in the Rotunda Gallery at City Hall. Mm. So that's going on every month. This month, Dave Richards. And we just finished our Mother's Day art show in May.
That's right.
Another successful show. And next year is the 50th anniversary of the art show.
Oh, is it really?
There'll be more to come about that.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Always on Mother's Day.
Yeah. Well, we thank you, Tim Fox and Sheila O'Connell, the co-chairs of the event that we're looking forward to going to, the Sculptural Garden Concert Series. We shall return shortly to learn more about the goings-on in Anatevka, Verona, and parts everywhere else with Patrick Mulcahy on the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival. Please stay with us.
WDIY is proud to sponsor the Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater's 34th season, featuring A Chorus Line, the longest-running Broadway smash, featuring such hit songs as One and What I Did for Love, June 11th through the 29th in the Empty Theater, Trexler Pavilion for Theater and Dance. For more information, 484-664-3333 or online at muhlenberg.edu/smt.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem's Southside, presenting Fresh Voices, solo and ensemble-based works in progress created by Touchstone's 2013-2014 apprentices with the guidance of the Touchstone family, June 20th to June 21st at 8 p.m. For tickets or information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
Thank you. I know you're still there. I can hear you on this end. We're going to talk now about the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival with Artistic Director Patrick Mulcahy, because PSF is really one of the leading theatrical festivals in the nation. It truly is. And Patrick, that's due in a great part to you and its founder, of course, the Reverend Schubert.
And a lot of other people. But thank you for that. Yes. I can assure you we wouldn't be doing what we're doing without the support we get from DeSales University as well.
So, right, yeah. Great.
And speaking of lots of people, just as an intro for folks, when we were talking beforehand, you were describing your day. This is your day off. But to walk into the center right now, what's going on around you and how many productions are in what stages?
Right, yes. Maybe the best way to explain that is what my day will look like tomorrow. So okay. I will be in rehearsal for Macbeth from through about 4 o'clock. Then I'll run into another room and see a run-through of The Two Gentlemen of Verona. And then I'll run into the main stage and I'll see the last dress rehearsal of Fiddler on the Roof before we have an audience the next night. And then there's a children's show going on, Cinderella, at the same time, and building for all sorts of productions. So, yeah.
A fun day.
It is. It's very exciting. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So Fiddler is the opener. Fiddler's kicking off.
It is. Yeah. Yes, yes. And, you know, we have a terrific Tevye. Joe Vincent is an actor who was with us a few years ago to play Big Daddy and Leonato in Much Ado About Nothing. And that was a discovery for us to find Joe because, you know, this is an actor who has been in 33 of Shakespeare's 37 or 38 plays, depending on how you count them. And this is his third time playing Tevye. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not a Shakespeare play, but it just shows the range of what this actor is capable of. And the whole cast is full of people with a long list of Broadway credits going back decades. Yeah. So, and it's just an exquisitely beautiful play. I knew that people would flock to it, but I didn't know just to what extent. I mean, attendance is through the roof right now.
That's interesting, because I was going to say, I'm noticing a huge buzz around town.
Yeah. And I expected it to be, you know, like the other musicals we do. And I just think that a lot of people have a very special place in their heart for this play. And I think that goes right back to its creation. I mean, this meant the world to its creators, and it meant the world to Jerome Robbins, too. And my wife, Ellen, was in Jerome Robbins Broadway in New York in the late 80s. And so they were in the room with him, and this was a production that had all of the great choreography that he had ever done. And then the Fiddler sequence, the first time they put it together in the rehearsal room, they looked over at him, tears just pouring down his face, because it meant so much to him. His father was a Russian emigre. Mm-hmm. It was really something he did for his father, with whom he had a very complex relationship. But I think that kind of passion is just it's tender, it's exquisite, it's beautiful. So it's I think people are in for a wonderful evening.
And besides that, Dennis Razzi is directing.
Our master, yes. If you've ever seen a musical in that building, it was probably directed by Dennis. He just knows how to do this.
Yeah. I was going to say, what a wonderful way, a kind of big-hearted way to open the piece with so much going on. Yeah.
We agree.
And going from that kind of passion and warmth to, I have to say, as a theater person, just thinking, oh my goodness, Two Gentlemen I'm sorry, Lend Me a Tenor in Macbeth in rep.
Yes.
Two Gentlemen of Verona is
not in rep, but that's the next one.
Right. So I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
But Two Gentlemen, live music?
Yes, musicians? there'll be live music on stage, and there'll be a live dog on stage. That's the one Shakespeare play with a live dog.
My father always told me never be in
on stage.
That's
with
right.
Exactly.
The dog or
children around. But the live music's because they're actor musicians.
Right. The director from the beginning said, I want to hire actors who are also actor musicians, and I want us as a company to create this musical experience, so when the audience walks into the space, the music will be, it'll be on stage, they'll be playing this music, and it'll be interwoven through the evening's performance through the production.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we have some terrific actors in it. Emmy nominee Marnie Schulenburg, her husband, Zach Robidas. They're both actors who have been doing a lot of film and television. And they're married. They're actually alums of our program. There's another actor, Luigi Sotil, who's playing Valentine, who we tried to hire last year but lost him to a little theater company in Chicago named Steppenwolf.
Oh, wow.
So
little
it shows company. You the level that he's been working at. Yeah.
I don't think people often realize. I mean, when we talk about being a festival on a national level, that's what we mean. Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
We're competing for the best talent.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So from a heartfelt musical to a beautiful piece of Shakespeare with music, live music.
Yes. And an early Shakespeare play, too. This is Shakespeare in his 20s, and you can see bits and pieces of all the plays, you know, in the elements of this play that he will write later. So it's really, and that's a great contrast to Macbeth, which he wrote very much at the height of his, you know, full powers as a great writer of tragedies from his kind of golden period, and probably the last of the four great tragedies that he wrote. Late, you know, around 1606 to 1608, somewhere in there.
So it's an interesting arc even for within the Shakespeare
it is,
selections.
Yes. We're excited about that. That's something from the very early part of his career and something, you know, again, when he's at the height of his power. And this, you know, what a play. We're just a few days into rehearsal on it right now. And, you know, it's like being in the room with a great sculpture or with, we're all aware of just how extraordinary the work of art itself is. And our production is hinging on a few things. There's some lines in the play, foul is fair, fair is foul and foul is fair, and nothing is but what is not. So we're exploring this notion of a kind of unstable reality that is evident in the play with the overlap of the natural and the supernatural worlds in a way that is troubling, disturbing. Also, just really, we think the play basically explores this fundamental question of, you know, what happens to the psyche once a certain line is crossed. That's what's interesting about it. And all the more interesting that it's in rep with Lend Me a Tenor.
Yes.
Which I have to say, from just thinking of the actors, wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have this kind of unofficial motto of great actors, great plays,
sure,
and that's really what we're trying to do. Yeah. And the actors that we have demonstrated over and over that they can do anything,
right.
And they love the process of being in rep. And just to be clear for the listeners, what this means is that the actors are in both plays and they're rehearsing both plays every day. So the first half of the play, they'll rehearse Macbeth. The second half, they'll rehearse this contemporary farce, Lend Me a Tenor. And they, and then once it opens, they'll, you know, on a Wednesday night, it's Macbeth. And on a Thursday night, it's Lend Me a Tenor. And on a Saturday, you can come and see
both.
Macbeth at 2 o'clock, go to dinner and come back and see the same actors on a different set in the same theater,
amazing.
You know, with different costumes. And they love it. And I think it elevates their game.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And both pieces. I mean, neither piece is like the lightweight work.
Right.
I mean, you would think Macbeth, of course, but Lend Me a Tenor is a huge piece too.
It is. I mean, it's tremendous fun.
Yeah.
And so they'll have a great time doing it. Yeah. But it is, of course, demanding.
Yeah.
You know, that's the old joke is, you know, death is easy, comedy is hard.
Exactly. And so stretching both ends of the game for themselves to their skills. Gosh. A Saturday would be a gorgeous thing.
Oh, it surely would.
A lot of people do it. Yeah. We call it doing the double.
Yeah. Doing the double.
Doing the double.
Great.
And Women of Will, which is, I think, it would be the fifth piece of the core of the season.
Right.
I've always been a big fan of what you would call the hit and run piece, where the actors take on a piece and direct themselves and pull things from the costume shop.
Yes.
But this year we're doing Women of Will. How did this happen?
Well, it's sort of opportunistic on our end. Tina Packer, who is an actress who was with the RSC in England and then came to this country to found Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, and was the founding artistic director for years and is still associated with that theater but has retired from that position. She's been working on this piece for over a decade, and she's finally put it together, and it is starting with us and then going on national tour. Wow. And she did do it in New York for about a year and a half ago, got a great review from Ben Brantley in the New York Times and the AP, and it's just a powerhouse piece for her. It's she and one other actor, and it explores the trajectory of the development of Shakespeare's understanding of the feminine psyche and power, and so she tracks it through. It's a performance where she will then weave it together with some insights as she goes.
And really, it covers really the themes of love and loss and freedom, control, violence, through the heroines, really,
yes, right,
of Shakespeare's text.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
Yes, what a wonderful lineup of things. Patrick, I hope you will come back and talk to us more about some of the other things that are happening at the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival. So please keep your calendar open in another month so we can talk more about what is going on there.
I strongly suggest people go to the website. There is so much between dinners, talkbacks, children's programming, everything. It's just amazing.
Thank you very much for being with us. And special thanks to Steve Aronson, our chief engineer and director of the Airways. He is one true gentleman of Volumnia, never a participant in the comedy of errors that exists, and certainly is a man who is much ado about something. Thank you, Uncle Stevie.
Welcome.